Welcome to the Student Podcast. This is where two guys get together and we discuss and learn how to be students of Jesus Christ. So good to have you today. So the day is coming.
Yeah.
What's the due date?
December 20th.
December 20th.
I don't know, a projected due date. But
yeah. It's a guess date.
Yeah, a guess date. So
yep.
Anytime. I mean, she's 34 weeks now, so she's technically not preterm. She'd be late preterm now.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's going to be exciting for you
full
guys.
Full term is 37, so every week he's been in there, it's just blessing from the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, okay, 1 week closer to a better outcome, one week closer, and, you know, 34 weeks so far with him. I'm really grateful for that. So
praise the Lord. Yeah. That's great. I think this is the, she enters into the highly uncomfortable phase.
Yeah, she's getting more and more ready where she'd be like, yeah, I'm ready to have this baby out of me. So.
Yeah, I'm going to give him the eviction notice.
Yeah, but also I think birth is just a completely new and unknown. So there's like that,
mm-hmm.
both sides of that coin. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. How are you feeling about it?
Excited. I don't know. I really just want to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
You just feel him move in there and kick her out, and like you can, he's just like so obviously just a little person in there. Like I just want to meet you.
Yeah.
At the same time, like not feel grossly underprepared to be someone in charge of taking care of his life and responsible for him. And like, I don't know, the church is so gracious with everything at the shower. So that.
Mm.
Made us feel a lot more prepared than we were before that.
Oh, good.
Because it was like, well, if he comes today, I don't know what we're going to do. Because, like, yeah, we just, yeah. It was funny because I think Natalie was in the 20 or so week range and women are asking her, so like, what are you doing? Get ready. It's like, nothing. So, but yeah, we are more prepared than we were. Let's put it that
way. Okay. Do you feel like, you know, if you guys are driving home and she says, oh, it's the day, you guys would be okay?
Yeah.
Or are there any major things that you're like, oh, we really need this first?
We don't quite have a functioning place for him to sleep. We need some bedding.
Okay.
And we don't quite have a functioning place to change him. So
does that just mean you have it, but it's not set up?
Or we have it. So, like, the pack and play is set up, but we don't have any bedding for it.
Okay.
So, like, I guess he could sleep in there if we want to, but I'd rather have a little bit of barrier there.
Yeah, yep.
And we have a changing table, but the mattress doesn't have anything on it, so we either need a different mattress that's waterproof, or we need like some sort of a cover for it.
Let me speak from experience. Get the waterproof mattress.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is like on Amazon, like all the covers are just cloth,
mm-hmm.
and all the mattresses aren't waterproof. Like there's two or three mattresses that are waterproof for sale on Amazon, and part of me just scratched my head like, why would you create a semi-permeable membrane that you know is going to be exposed?
Yeah, I know.
Like, so it's, yeah. So we're keeping our eye out for something like that.
All right. Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, I would just encourage you to get the plastic one.
Yeah.
Or at least with the cover.
Wipe down and be done with it rather than having to do laundry all the time.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, we did. A plastic, like, cushion for the changing table.
Sure.
It was a cushion, and it had plastic. But then we also put, like, a cover over it.
Mm-hmm.
So Olivia would, you know, if the kid peed on it, she would take that off and throw it in the wash and Clorox wipe it down, you know.
Right.
But what a weird way to start this podcast, man.
Yeah.
Discipline of the mind. There you go.
Yeah, I was wondering what we were actually on because it's been a very hot second since we've been in this.
Yeah. So. We've taken a long break. I was thinking about that. How?
When was the last time we met for this?
Well, let's see. That would have been early October, I think. October, late September, because. There was 1 week where you let me skip out and you helped me fix the camper instead.
Yeah.
And that was beginning of October because we were going out to, we headed out to Geneva College for,
that's right.
For homecoming and for my niece's baptism.
That's right.
And so.
Yeah. So probably late September. So.
Yeah. So you've had almost a whole semester of school.
Yeah.
you read a whole bunch of books.
Yeah. Well, not books, but figures and notes and such. So.
Well, Well, why don't we go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump into it.
Sure.
Father, thank you so much for this day. Lord, thank you for getting Simon down safely from Iowa City. Thank you for the brotherhood that you have given us. Lord, we thank you and we rejoice that we have friends. We thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit, and we pray that this would be a time that we would grow in challenging each other, in admonishing each other, and in encouraging each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so last time I feel like what we did largely with discipline of the mind was talk about what not to do.
Yeah.
You know, we poo-pooed on TV, we poo-pooed on social media, we poo-pooed on just about everything.
Yeah.
But it kind of left us in a place where if all you did was that, it'd be pretty much fundamentalism. You know, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. And so the question I think that he starts leading us into now is, okay, so what do you think about? How do you cultivate a mind, the mind of Christ?
Right.
And so what does he call that on? Well, your pages are different. Middle of the chapter, he takes a turn here.
Yeah, he called it intentional programming. So the first section, he talked about the passage in Philippians. It says, you know, whatever is lovely, whatever is true, pure, good report, think on these things. And he flipped that around to what not to think about, the opposite of that. Now he's kind of going back and saying, okay, well, the truth, the nobility, the righteousness, the purity, the loveliness, admirability, excellence, praiseworthiness, these are the things we have to think about.
Mm.
And he kind of dives into like what that word think is as a deliberate and prolonged contemplation, as if one is weighing a mathematical problem, the word being the same word we get logarithm from.
Yeah. This is the word logizomai.
I was going to leave the Greek pronunciation.
Yeah. But he's right with that, right? And he talks about garbage in, garbage out from computer programming.
Yep.
I stole this illustration in my sermon on Psalm 19.
Oh, okay.
And so that's how long it's been.
Oh, wow.
Halfway through the year, I read this chapter.
Okay.
When I wrapped up Joshua, I did a one-take series on the word. And I stole this story. Do you remember the story he talked about with General Harrison?
Yeah, I do remember that. Now that's coming back.
Yeah.
I remember you mentioning that now that you say that in the sermon. Yeah. Yeah, that's quite a story. Where this guy who, what was it, World War II, he led the charge into Belgium, the Allied force charge, and what he read, by the time he was 90, the Old Testament 70 times and the New Testament 280 times. That's a lot of reading there.
Yeah. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, there's a guy I know, his name is Benjamin Voss. His grandfather was J.G. Voss.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
And he took a picture one time of the back cover, like the inside back cover of his grandfather's Greek New Testament.
Mm.
And every single year, his grandfather read through his Greek New Testament.
Mm.
And I just thought, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know,
in the Greek language.
Yeah, in
wow.
Greek. Yeah, so he read it every single year in Greek.
Wow.
But just thinking like, this guy's at war, or Voss is busy teaching classes, doing all these things,
mm-hmm.
and these very important men are reading God's word.
Right.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought I thought that was a great way that he pointed out. General Harrison's story tells us two things. First, it is possible, even for the busiest of us, to systematically feed on God's word. Second, his life remains a demonstration of a mind programmed with God's word. His closest associates say that every area of his life, domestic, spiritual, and professional, and each of the great problems he faced was informed by the scriptures. I thought it was a pertinent challenge.
Mm.
You know, like, if the dude's at the battlefront,
mm-hmm.
and he's still able to read his Bible, what reason do I have not to read?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Now let me know, you're at a PA school and in the doldrums of studying, do you find this to be a difficult challenge that he's laying before you?
I find it difficult when I make a habit of not reading God's word. When I'm reading God's word, this is easy.
Yeah.
When I was talking on campus with some other Christian students, and we were talking about redeeming the time because the days are evil, and how we spend our time and how we can make the best use of our time, and just how easy it is, even as students, we're studying, and then we can come up with so many excuses for why we didn't read God's word that day. You know, the 15 minutes you have before a class starts, what are you doing? You know, watching Netflix or YouTube or, you know, coming home, and you're just, it is so easy. And I've noticed in my own life, when you miss one day in God's word, it's easier to miss 2 days. When you miss 2 days in God's word, it's easier to miss 3 days. And it's almost as if forming the habit forms the habit, right? It kind of builds on itself. And I've noticed that, like, yeah, it's busy, but if you fit it in, I mean, you only have 24 hours in a day. What are you going to do? You're going to spend that time doing something, right? I could spend it doing studying, and it's not really going to do anything for me. I could spend it entertaining myself, you know, and that's not necessarily redeeming the time. If I spend it this way in a systematic way, it's easy. But how easy it is to come up with excuses and be like, "Well, God, I don't have time," and everyone has time. This guy had time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just true.
Yeah.
Right. We prioritize the things that are important to us.
Right.
And so, I'm sure General Harrison missed out on certain things because he prioritized it.
Right.
Right. And so, I think part of the, I'm reading this book right now, Atomic Habits. It's here on the shelf. Not everything. I don't like everything in it. It takes a behavioralist bent at times. Not at times, quite a bit. But he talks about for habits to become sticky, you know, they actually have to be valuable to us. Like they have to be something that we desire. And so making a habit a desirable thing. And I've been having fun. One of the deacons at the church, when I was preaching on Psalm 19, he didn't realize how valuable honey was in the ancient world. And so he bought me some honeycomb.
Yeah.
And I think I shared some honeycomb with you.
Yeah, I remember that.
I've been sharing honeycomb with everybody. I'm like, have you ever had honeycomb?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sure people think I'm weird, but my mother-in-law was just here last week, and I was like, "Hey, Mom, have you ever had honeycomb?" And she was like, "I've had honey." And I was like, no. "Have you ever had honey from the honeycomb?" She's like, "I don't think so." And I was like, "Let me give you some."
Yeah.
But the point is, you know, Psalm 19, it's more valuable than gold,
mm-hmm.
you know, sweeter than honey.
Yeah.
And just like, we're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us do not have enough willpower just to grind through it.
Mm-hmm.
But is it something that we desire?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is communing with God, listening to God,
mm-hmm.
something that is prioritized in our soul?
Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, I mean, I'll be the first one to admit it, and for anyone who's listening, reading God's word is not always easy, right?
No.
Like, I don't desire to read God's word a lot of the time. And I think a lot of making a habit that is desirable is asking God, change my desires. I don't desire your word as I ought. Change my desires. And at the end of the day, if you don't desire it, God still told you to do it, right? And sometimes it is grit to start obeying God, but God promises blessing in that obedience. And as we do it, it becomes that honey to the honeycomb. And even, you know, recently struggled to get into God's word on a regular basis, like, something's missing, you know, because there had been a habit of getting into God's word, and then all of a sudden you pull that block out. It's like pulling a block out of the Jenga tower. It's like, wait, you know, something's missing. And I think that's what Christ is talking about when he was tempted. He's like, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And for the Christian who's truly depending on God's word, it is that. It's food for the soul, something you depend on.
And yet at the same time, I know a whole lot of people who, well-meaning, well-intentioned evangelical people. Some of these people I'm related to, and some of them are in glory, so they know the Lord far better than I do now, have said things along the lines of, you know, like, well, I did my devotion, so I got my happy shot today. Man, I've been reading through Ezekiel, and before that, Lamentations, and before that, Jeremiah lately.
Yeah.
And it's just like, sometimes it's not easy to read.
Mm-hmm.
There are things in Ezekiel that I scratch my head about.
Mm-hmm.
There are things in Ezekiel that make me want to shut the Bible because this is hard to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think there's a, where I'm going with this is some people use this almost like a, you know, a talisman. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, if I just read God's the word today, then my day's going to go okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, no, it's not a recipe for just having a good day.
Right.
It's a question of, are you reorienting your heart and your mind day in and day out? And I recognize this, right? Because there was a period of time where, I mean, I haven't gotten out of a Bible reading habit for a long time, but it's been a couple of years since I've just read through the Bible in a year, just for my own edification, just for doing it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a day that has gone by that I haven't been in the Lord's Word somehow in years. But I went ahead and just picked it back up to systematically read through.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been shocked at how many times I'm like, oh, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
How have I not picked up on that imagery before? Like, I was really struck this past week with the freshness of the imagery in Ezekiel, when he says, you know, the elders come and they sit before him, and Ezekiel has this vision, and he tells him to dig through the wall. As he's digging through the wall, there's a door.
Mm-hmm.
He opens the door, and there's the elders, and the elders have all sorts of unclean things and images, and there are all sorts of idols in this dark room.
Mm.
He says, "This is what's going on in the elders' hearts."
Hmm.
I know the idols in the hidden places of their hearts.
Hmm.
And it was like, I had totally forgot that imagery.
Hmm.
And this is God saying, like, I'm not going to listen to them.
Right.
And so I think for myself, and if I'm any type of normal person, we forget vast amounts of the material we read.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming to the Lord's Word again and again and again is this constant renewal, constant refreshing, constant reminding that I've been having a blast lately. Not every day.
Right.
There's mornings where my mind drifts off and I have to write down whatever I'm thinking about and then say, okay, I'm going to come back to that. I have to reread the page that I was just reading.
Mm-hmm.
But prioritizing what's most important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we prioritize YouTube.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I got a few minutes for that.
Right.
I prioritize spending time with Olivia.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what are you investing in?
Right.
And I think that's what he's getting at with discipline of the mind here, is that with Scripture, as we read God's Word and we become in a pattern of spiritual discipline, then, you know, it self-feeds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good habits feed good habits.
Right.
Bad habits feed bad habits.
Yeah.
And so after he quotes Psalm 119, huge acrostic for the Lord's Word, what's he want us to remember?
He talks about how you cannot be profoundly influenced by that which you do not know. Which is maybe stating the obvious, but it's true. You can't, you know, talk about, you know, the Lord's Word is, you know, profitable for instruction, correction, reproof, but instruction and righteousness that the man of God may complete. And, you know, God's Word is honey. Okay, it's one thing to know that. And it's like, okay, go read it.
Yeah.
Right? You know the water's there. Go drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know the bread of life is there. Go eat. And, think like you're talking about, not just cherry picking God's word, because it can be, you can be influenced by one part of God's word and be missing out on 90% of God's word.
Mm.
You're not knowing the 90% of God's word, but coming to the whole counsel of God and
yeah.
and being enriched by it, challenged by it, convicted by it.
Yeah, I love it, right? The way to a Christian mind is through God's word.
Yeah.
I really just appreciate his bluntness sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like he was blunt before, you can't have a Christian mind if you're just watching television all day. Mm-hmm. In our generation, you can't have a Christian mind if all you're doing is watching TikTok all day.
Right.
So what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
How are you renewed mm-hmm. in your mind? Well, we go to the Word. We're washed in the Word. We're instructed by the Word. We're corrected by the Word. We're mm-hmm. Reproved by the Word. We're trained by the Word. And so if we want to have a Christian mind, we go to the Word. Mm-hmm. But he warns us against my practice, I guess. Now, it doesn't warn us against my practice, but what's he warn in that paragraph after that?
He talks about being aware of Bible reading legalism. I read the Bible every year, check, good Christian. Or kind of like you were talking about, I had my dose of the Bible today. You know, it's a good day. In some sense, I understand what people mean by that. It's not saying that there's not benefit in reading God's word every day or reading through the Bible every day. But I was reading another book about elders, and it talked about, immersing yourself in God's word, day in, day out, hour by hour, any free time, just get into God's word. But then after that, it talked about be mastered by God's word, right?
Yeah.
You can take in as much as you want, and if you're just taking it in for the taking in, and it's not doing anything in between those years, not sinking down in your heart and bearing fruit, are you really doing much for your soul?
Yeah.
So I think what he talked about earlier, being influenced by God's word, not just mm-hmm. being like, okay, I have to read God's word today. It's my quiet time. Check, done. I got through the Bible this year. Check, done. Oh, I know all the books of the Bible, whatever. Do you know God's word? Yeah. Is it taking root in your heart, and is it bearing fruit and changing?
Exactly. Yeah. Is it living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword? Is it convicting you?
Right.
Is it teaching you? Is it reproving you? Is it correcting you?
Right.
Is it building you up and so that you could do the righteous deeds that God's called you to do?
Right.
One of the dangers actually that seminary students have is this.
Mm.
And this is a huge problem at seminary, is students will come into seminary and they'll have read quite a bit of God's word.
Mm.
And then what happens often at seminary is they start reading about God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lose, some seminary students really do lose the ability to be under the word because they're so busy reading about it, studying over it. So instead of the word mastering them,
right.
They end up feeling like they've mastered the word.
Right.
It's kind of like, I could memorize every declension in the world and I could parse every single participle in the New Testament, but if it doesn't change my affections, I am no better mm-hmm. than the heathen who hates it.
Right.
This Bible legalism, right? I regularly tell people who are starting their Bible reading plans, just pick a book like Mark. It's quick moving. Choose one story and read that story. Not the whole chapter, just heading to heading.
Mm-hmm.
I was just talking to a guy about this the other week with his family devotions. He really wanted to start doing family worship with his children and having them be meaningful. And so I was just telling him, go pericope by pericope, one story to another story, and then stop and ask yourselves, different questions about it and ask your kids, interact with it, and see how well that sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really encouraged. You got a hold of him. We went out to lunch a couple weeks later, and he was like, this has been great. Like, soon as I got rid of this idea that I had to read a chapter every time.
Yeah.
But we just know we're going to deal with one complete unit of thought.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that. And then if it's five verses, it's five verses. If it's half a chapter, it's half a chapter. If it's a full chapter, it's a full chapter. But right. It's easier because that this is one unit of thought.
Right.
And so I agree with him on this. On our website, every year we publish, you know, a couple dozen different Bible reading plans.
Mm-hmm.
And I just read one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're the type of person that you, there's one reading plan we've linked on there, professor someone reading plan, and it's not even like it's literally you read eight different parts of the Bible a day,
mm-hmm.
and you just read one chapter in those eight different parts, and you do that. I did that for a couple months, and I was like, wow, that's great, but it was like I don't have that much time to devote to this. There's a lot of other reading I needed to do and a lot of other work. It's not poo-pooing on anybody doing it. Mm-hmm. That's probably poo-pooing on myself. But I think he's wise to just say, don't be legal about it, legalistic about it. What do you think about the listening to the scriptures part?
Yeah.
Do you think that's legit?
Yeah. I don't know. I like doing that. especially, so I've been, there's a guy at school who spent a few years in Ecuador,
mm-hmm.
and he's fluently bilingual, and I used to be fairly bilingual in Spanish, and he's kind of provoked me to get back into Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I learn all day, I read all day, I really just get home and have a headache, and I really don't want to just, like, learn more. Like, what can I do that I'm already doing? Just do it in Spanish. It's like, well, duh, I could get back into God's Word in Spanish because I used to read the Bible in Spanish.
Yeah, yeah.
So part of just not only soaking up God's Word, but just actually learning the language again.
Mm.
I've found a Spanish translation and just listened to it by audio to get the pronunciation back and just the flow back in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been helpful to me.
Yeah.
In that. But no... listening to God's word is great, especially when you're doing something else. I think it's one way. I mean, we're supposed to do this for our children, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell them it while they're walking. You know, that's not them reading and running into a brick wall. That's you telling it to them.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, one of my favorite things to do is in the summertime when I have a lot of time on the lawnmower is I'll actually just put on my audio Bible on my earbuds.
Yep.
And I'll listen to it. I especially like to do that when I'm about to start a preaching series.
Yeah. Because
then I'll listen to the whole book multiple times.
Yeah.
And just listen cover to cover. Or sorry, you know, beginning to end of the book again and again and again. So I'm kind of being confronted about nuances.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just soaking in. There's a guy in our congregation who works by himself. And so he's not allowed to bring in any other materials. It's a very tedious job. But he's allowed to have his audio Bible.
Mm.
And so he listens to the Bible about three times a year.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, he listens to it.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
When he gets to work, he presses play, and it plays over the speakers in his office. And that's what he does.
Yeah.
Like, when I first met him, I was like, oh, that's interesting, because I was asking him about his Bible reading time. He's like, well, I listen to the Bible. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Uh-huh.
And then so I started talking about it. He's like, no, that's my devotions. I do it while I'm at work. I listen to the Bible three times a year.
Wow.
And it was like, that's really cool, man.
Yeah, yeah. Or even just, there's some really great resources for the word sung.
Mm-hmm.
The Corner Room does a really good job of mm-hmm. just like singing straight scripture,
mm-hmm.
Word for word out of the ESV. The Psalter Project is one I really like,
mm-hmm.
where they just sing God's word, and like I'll do that when I'm running, just like, you know, put it in. It's like, well, I'm gonna do something. I need something to listen to. So yeah,
it's
another way to just surround ourselves in God's word and be immersed in it. Especially that can open up new time slots in our day where otherwise we might not be in mm-hmm. God's word.
Yeah, and I think it's helpful as well to remember that. When both the Old Testament and the New Testament were written, yeah, people were literate, but there were portions of the church that were illiterate.
Right.
And so, you know, hearing the word,
mm-hmm.
you know, when Paul wrote a letter to the church, he said, make sure this one's also read in Laodicea. And by the way, the letter I wrote to Laodicea, I want you guys to read that one as well.
Yeah.
You know?
And show and tell here.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just this reality that, like, it, you can read, it's good. Hear it, right?
Yeah.
So he talks about whatever your ability, you must read and study God's Word. McShane's calendar for Bible reading is really good. Through the Bible is really good. Topical Guide to Daily Devotional Bible, really good. The Bible on audio cassette.
That's how old mine is. On the way down, just to refresh, and I was like, audio cassette, huh? Mine says the YouVersion app. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, that's a little bit more 2022.
Yeah, get the YouVersion app, or I think it's just like the Bible app or something now,
yeah.
And just press play. How amazing is that now? Like, if you get a smartphone,
yeah,
you can press play. You know, I was thinking about this today. This is kind of a rabbit trail. I was on the phone with one of my friends in India today. Just so encouraged by him. He's been suffering some persecution lately. Mm. Group of Hindus about 4 kilometers from his house assaulted him and attacked him and threatened if he didn't stop preaching to Hindus and continuing to seek Hindus to convert, they'd break his legs and eventually kill him. Mm. And as I was talking to him, you know, he was just saying how, you know, sometimes he weeps over these things and he struggles with it. And then he was saying, but Brian, Jesus has told me to pick up my cross and follow him.
Hmm.
And I was thinking, there's someone who has internalized God's word.
Hmm.
Like as he's literally, his life is being threatened.
Hmm. Wow.
It's where does he find a rock to stand on?
Mm-hmm.
It's because he reads God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so encouraged by this young guy. I mean, he's like 10 years younger than me, and he's about your age, and he's just like, keep going, man. I'm so sorry. I'm going to pray for you.
Mm.
But yeah, and so it's not just this esoteric thing, you
right.
know, but having God's word in you is what gives you this foundation for thinking about, is this still worth it?
Mm-hmm.
There's a book called The Insanity of God. Forget the guy's name right now who wrote it, but he essentially talks about going and interviewing a whole bunch of persecuted people in China.
Mm.
And he asked them, you know, all these different questions about being under persecution. And as he's talking to them, there are people who are essentially, if you were persecuted and you came out, you were like a leader in the church, you know, like right away because you were, you know, suffered persecution. So,
right.
So you must be holy. You know?
Okay.
And so he starts interviewing these people. And what he comes to find out is many of them say, I really shouldn't be an elder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they made me an elder because I went to prison. But I didn't have much in prison. I just was there.
Mm-hmm.
But he started interviewing others who had gone to prison. And he started to notice something. It was how much of God's word they had read before they went into prison that determined how faithful they were both in prison and how effective they were as elders when they got out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was saying that in amongst many of these church leaders in China, they would talk about the word has to be in you before you go into jail.
Mm.
And so, you know, like, it's got to be in your heart because when you're in there, you don't have your Bible.
Right.
And so it's only what you went in there with.
Right.
I just thought, man, and here we are. And I've got a whole shelf of Bibles there. And there's a whole bunch out in the living room.
Mm.
And I could open up my laptop or open up my smartphone. Why not the smartphone anymore? But I can open up all sorts of resources and have a ton
right.
of Bibles. Just kind of has made me more, like, thankful talking to these persecuted Christians. Like, man, we are so blessed in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But he just stop with the Bible. The Bible is obviously first, primary, and foundational. But what does he go on from there?
Yeah, reading good books. Christian literature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we can just summarize a few things with this. he's talking to Dennis Prager, and what does Dennis Prager point out?
He's a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And not even a Messianic Jew, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
He says, I have bookcases of Christian books and I'm a Jew. Why do I have more Christian books than 98% of the Christians in America?
Yeah.
It's a sad criticism.
Yeah.
There.
I think Ben Shapiro, could say the same thing.
Yeah.
And so I don't think much has changed.
No.
He says, men, to deny ourselves the wealth of the accumulated saints of the centuries is to consciously embrace spiritual anorexia.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, he then gives a list of different good books that he gives. Again, my version is dated. I'm sure as you listened to the audio version of it.
Yeah.
What app? Yeah. What app did you listen to it on?
What are you talking about now?
So you said you listened to this chapter on your way down.
Oh, Hoopla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hoopla wasn't even around in my edition of the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's Audible, there's Hoopla, there's Christian Radio or Christian Audio. There's all sorts of free and paid.
Yeah.
Christian. Ways to get Christian books.
Great.
So read 2 or 3 books a year is what he's suggesting.
Mm-hmm.
And what are some of the books that he's recommending?
I think this list is a slightly different than what you have just because he interviewed some more current folks.
Oh, okay.
He's got Institutes of the Christian Religion by John Calvin, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis, J.I. Packer's Knowing God, Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And then a few more secular works, I believe.
So. Well, I thought that while those things are helpful, by the way, he lists, does yours come with the appendix with all the people's answers?
It might.
It was fun to read through some of those.
It does, actually.
Let's just talk about in our lives. I thought this would be fun. What are the Christian books or books in general that God has used formationally in your life?
I think the one that God used to save me, actually. God uses his word to save, but my mom had gotten me a book by Joel Beakey.
Mm.
On the cure for backsliding, and it sat on my shelf for a while, but was provoked to read it at a time where I was questioning a lot of things.
Mm.
My God, I don't know if I'm backsliding. I don't know if I know you at all.
Mm.
And I don't know. It's not that thick of a book, and I read it cover to cover in less than like 12 hours.
Nice.
And got to the end of it and just on my knees.
Mm.
Just convicted of sin before God. And so that one really stands out to me. I don't know if there's anything really that special about the book today, but God used it and praise God for that. I also found, I really like Robert Murray McShane.
Okay.
Reading through his sermons on Hebrews.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if he was he was characterized by very short preaching, or if the transcripts we have are just an abridged version. But his sermons on Hebrews are very short, what we have in writing.
Maybe that's why he was so popular.
Yeah. You're like, I can get out of here. No. But it was really nice food for thought, especially on Lord's Day afternoons, where it's like, okay, it's pastoral material, so it's not like heavy intellectual lifting.
Mm-hmm.
It's devotional, and it's brief, and it's just very Christ-centered and Christ-exalting. I really, really benefited from that. I like, reading the Puritans. John Bunyan wrote a book, All Loves Excelling.
I don't think I've ever heard this. You're giving me all sorts of new books, man. That's great.
Yeah. It's just he spends the entire, again, it's not a big book. It's one of those Puritan paperbacks, I think. He spends the whole book just meditating on Ephesians 3, where Paul prays that you would know the love of Christ and passes knowledge and its height and depth and breadth and length. And he just meditates and soaks in what is the love of Christ, you know, and how does it pass knowledge and how does it have height and depth? That, I don't know, just, I appreciate more devotional, meditational, reading personally.
Yeah.
Every now and then I can get into, I don't know, even then, I don't think I've read necessarily like a systematic theology book in a hot minute. Sometimes when I really want to learn about an issue, I'll read it, but it's not as intellectually enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's intellectually enjoyable in the fact that I get to wrestle with, okay, what do I think about this and then come to a conclusion. But for my own soul benefit, I'd like some of those meditational works. But yeah, what about you?
Oh boy.
I was going to say, we're surrounded by your bookwormness.
Yeah. that's a good question. You know, one that I'm rereading right now, Knowing God by J.I. Packer, that had a huge influence on my life. The one we're working through right now, Disciplines of a Godly Man, was one of the first books I read as a Christian, had a huge impact on my life. I've spent lots of time with Calvin and his institutes. That's been very helpful. There's a book that is on my top five now. It's I didn't know if my top five would change, but What's a Girl Worth by Rachel Denhollander. Part of that is just what's going on in my family falling apart. That is very insightful, helpful book. Augustine's Confessions is another one that that's been a big one. The Holiness of God is another one. And then Charnock's Existence and Attributes of God.
Hmm.
You know, just looking around the room, you know, what books I pull off when I'm, but another early one that I read, I know some Reformed people aren't so happy about this, but, Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology. You know, I read this book and I went to a Borders, bookstore in Virginia. I just happened to be in the mall for some reason and I went to the Christian section. I was like, I'm going to find a like a good Christian book.
Right.
You know, and I knew nothing about Wayne Grudem.
Right.
It just was the thickest Christian book there. and so I started thumbing through it and I was like, oh, okay. Like this guy seems like he's like believes the Bible and stuff like that. I had no theological grid work to like really evaluate by, and so I remember I'd go to Starbucks and I would sit there. This is probably for a good 3 weeks. And I'd just sit there and I'd read through Root of Systematic Theology. And that's actually the first time I read the Westminster Confession of Faith and the Shorter Catechism was in Grudem's Systematic Theology.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So it's at the back and I just read through it and I was like, this is rich. Like this is really great. So I can't say I read every single page of Grudem. But the Lord really used that in my life to kind of give me a broad evangelical, like systematic framework to build off of that.
Yeah.
I was totally lacking in my life.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'd probably say that those are the big ones. If we were to talk about history stuff, that'd be a whole different ballpark, but I would annoy people with different just name dropping books. But I would especially say, like I said, Knowing God, Charnock's Existence and Attributes of God. Actually, I take that back. It's not the Holiness of God that knocked me on my butt, but should be right next to that one shelf up. The Truths We Confess by R.C. Sproul. My pastor gave that to me. And in that, as I was working through it on a Lord's Day afternoon, I remember it's basically a rewriting of the Holiness of God when he's in the first couple of chapters talking about who God is. And I remember being so overwhelmed with the majesty of God that my only thing I could do was get on my knees and just worship God in my apartment by myself. The sunshine coming in the window, middle of the summer, middle of the day on a Sunday afternoon, just weeping. How majestic is our God, you know? So the Lord used each of these books in different ways. You know, Augustine gave me words to realize it wasn't just me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, much of my waywardness was, you know, someone else had experienced.
Mm.
Packer gave me a framework to understand who God is. Charnock gave me depth to understand, especially in natural revelation, how everything declares his glory and how the attributes of God are just everywhere in the scriptures.
Mm.
And then Calvin writes in his Institutes in a way that's very antiquated,
mm-hmm.
because he's dealing with issues from the 16th century. But yet, in some areas it's polemic,
mm-hmm.
in some areas it's very pastoral, in some areas it's very exegetical. And so seeing him work through issues systematically, work through those, I'd say those, in different ways the Lord used those books, and Rachel did Hollander's book, just really getting at the heart of a very, very important topic
mm-hmm.
right now. And I think hers especially upholding at the core of it, the Imago Dei and the dignity that we have as human beings and how we must protect especially the smallest of children.
Mm-hmm.
So all those books in different ways.
Yeah.
And then this one.
Yeah.
Challenging me to start reading those books.
Yeah.
There's some things that I'm excited to continue talking about in this book. Because there are some things that I think he actually steered me wrong.
Mm.
Areas now that I would maybe team it back a little bit.
Sure.
As the Lord has worked in my heart. But I really, thinking back, there's so much of this book that the Lord used as in a pivotal time in my life. The Arkent Hughes, Disciplines of a Godly Man. He's the one who kind of sowed these seeds for... Don't be an intellectual bum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be the scandal of the evangelical mind.
Mm-hmm.
Go read a book.
Yeah.
So, and make sure you read the Book of Books.
Right.
So,
right.
Dude, that was a huge question. You shouldn't come into a nerd's office and say, tell me some of the books you were like.
No, that's helpful. I don't know. I feel like this has challenged me to read. I with as much reading as I've had to do for schooling the last
mm-hmm.
several years, I just haven't had a lot of motivation and interest mm-hmm. in reading it outside of that. And chapters provoke me to read more. And what, you know, I only have so much time to read.
Yeah.
So what am I going to read? And I've tried to, you know, just pick up read a chapter here, a chapter there. Yeah. So some of those titles you dropped are worth reading.
Yeah. A book that I'm really enjoying right now, Tim Challey's Seasons of Sorrow, The Pain and Loss and Comfort of God.
Yeah.
Challey's son died when he was 20 years old, suddenly in 2020. And he's writing through his sorrow.
Mm.
So he's a writer. And so in many ways, he's very unguarded as he's writing. Because it's literally as he's going through it, his thoughts of sorrow and grief and hope and pleading with God and fear and comfort. Really powerful book. I was sitting on the couch the other day reading that, and I was just weeping. And Ellie, you know, almost 5-year-old, she comes up, she goes, "It's okay, Daddy. I love you." And I was just like, so I just put the book down and I just snuggled with Ellie for a little bit. I was like, I'm just going to enjoy this child that God's given me, that she saw me weeping. She doesn't know why I'm weeping, but she just wants to come up and comfort Dad. I was like, Lord, I'll take that gift. So I would suggest this book.
Yeah.
I haven't read through all of it yet. I suggested it to the congregation in the email we sent out.
Yeah.
It's a profitable book. Profitable book for anybody struggling with sorrow.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about final thoughts? What are your final thoughts on discipline of the mind?
I think as men, God has gifted us to be more resolute by nature.
Mm.
We can really devote ourselves to what we're most interested in. And usually that's work. And the American culture has narrated that to be work and only work many times. and
or hobby
or laziness, mm-hmm. you know, lazy hobbies. And I think Arkent Hughes is really calling us to arms here,
mm-hmm.
with our minds.
Yeah.
And because as men, we can be very disciplined in external things, you know, going to work, excelling at work, doing a hobby, excelling at the hobby, and we neglect our minds. Mm-hmm. And if you look at how, especially husbands and fathers, sin gets wreaked upon the home is usually through sins of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think especially as men, as we live in an age that vies for our mind,
it's a
battle for your mind. if we only just don't fill our mind with evil things or with unprofitable things, and that's all we do, you know, we're leaving a vacuum that's, mm-hmm. that's, you know, like for something to come back in worse than before. And proactively filling our minds with what is good and honorable and lovely and of good report, coming, learning of God, mm-hmm. what it is to truly be a man of God,
mm-hmm.
Training our mind to be a godly mind so that we can actually be godly men, I think is a really radical call. And an aggressive call. It takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a split second, like training your mind, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's what scripture does, is training your mind.
And, yeah.
Day in and day out discipline. But if it doesn't start there, where else is it going to start? So.
Yeah. Good stuff, man.
Yeah.
You want to close this in prayer?
Sure. Lord, we thank you for your word. You have not just left us alone. You have revealed yourself to us in glory and majesty and beauty. And Lord, we thank you that we can read your Bible in our language. Lord, so many people in the world don't even have that mm-hmm. opportunity, Lord. We get to read Christian books, Lord. We're surrounded by Christian books in this room, and so many people have nothing but the Bible, if that. And Lord, we are blessed. But Lord, we are lazy by nature, Lord. We don't love your word as we ought. And so we just ask for help as fathers, as husbands, Lord, as men of God, to be in your word, to come daily with discipline, but Lord, with eagerness, to hear what you have to say, to be encouraged, to be built up, to be convicted. And Lord, that your word would not just be something that passes in one ear and out the other, but that it would take root, that it would encourage, build up, convict, rebuke, or revive our souls,
mm-hmm.
and most of all, point us to the glory of the gospel through Jesus Christ. Mm. Lord, you are worthy to be praised, and we just worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks so much for listening to the what do we call this?
The Student Podcast.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Student Podcast. Feel free to go over to the website, sharonrpc.org/student, and find more information and other shows. Also, don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate it. Have a great day.